Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jamie Yuccas is with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. How are you this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm doing well. I'm so sorry that I wasn't available right away.
No problem at all. What were you doing?
Running around the office. I set an alarm on a phone I didn't have with me and then looked up at the clock and freaked out and ran back in my office. That's all I have.
Are you a two-phone person?
I am a two-phone person. Work phone, personal phone.
Would you be willing to give out either one of those numbers right now if people wanted
to
call you?
Yeah. My work phone number is...
Are you nuts?
No. I mean, not that I'm aware of, but yeah. If they have like a hot tip or something they want to share news-wise, that'd be fine.
Okay. Well, Jimmy Butler did that.
It's on my LinkedIn page.
Is it?
Like, yeah. So I feel like it's, you know, it's one of those things. Like, and who calls people anymore? I'm sure I'll get a text message or two.
Yeah.
But people email all the time, you know. I mean, I feel like it goes with the territory. You have to be open to taking stuff. If you're going to harass me or, like, say nasty things, I'll probably block you.
Yeah.
But...
How about your home address? I'm trying to see where the line is for you, because if you do that, if you start
saying that online too,
yeah. If you start saying that, I'm going to put you in delay. I'm not going to let you.
Offer that up.
Okay. How often do you get a story tip in that way, just from a viewer or listener?
You know, it happens probably. Maybe like twice a month.
Yep.
Something that I'll pitch. You know, which we have so many different layers here. Like, I'll get something sent to me, and then I'll run it by a producer, and then the producer and I will pitch it to someone in New York, and then New York has to approve it. And so there's many layers to it, but I'd say probably twice a month I go and at least run it by a producer, or it goes further than that.
Okay, contrast the sort of feedback you get from your audience with CBS compared to the feedback you might get when you're back here in town. What are the differences?
Well, I mean, I love my Minnesota friends and family and viewers because they're usually very positive, and they watch very closely. I feel it's funny though. Like when I worked in Minneapolis, obviously it's all viewers from Minneapolis, right? So I'd get a mixture of like, I hate your guts, or you look terrible today, and you know, you did a great job, or that was a nice interview. Like it was a whole hodgepodge. But now at the national level, I'd say, you know, it's more people commenting on stories when I get hateful stuff, and it's usually something within the story, not generally directed just at me.
Thankfully.
And I would say that, you know, at my Facebook and Twitter and all that's still open, so I'll get messages from, you know, people all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. We have good people, we have bad people, we have all these platforms where people can express their opinions. It still blows me away that people would be as willing just to leave a voicemail or communicate. I just want to tell you, you look terrible today.
Or I do look terrible today.
That dress or those pants don't look good. I mean, I get that what we do or what I'm doing here or what you do, where it's, for me, it's a topic or how I'm interviewing somebody or my opinion, so good. But to say to someone on television, I hate what you've done to yourself.
You know, there's so
himself.
Many. There's just so many. You and I have both been to therapy, as we've talked about. And to me, I honestly have gotten to the point now where I just find people sad. Like if that's what you've got going on in your life, and it makes you feel better in some way, whether it's like you really want to take me down or you think you're helping me, like I don't really care.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. How often you go to LinkedIn?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. I just somebody sent me a job posting, and that was the first time I'd been on it in a long time. They're applying for it and wanted me to see what I thought of it, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I've been on. It says join now, join with Google, sign in. I can't remember the last time I signed in.
So I jumped in a number of years ago. I'll get an email like, hey, X amount of people looked at your feed. And,
oh, sure, yeah.
You know, you can pay for it, and I don't. I pretty much say yes to almost every person on the planet.
Me too. Jason DeRusha used to get really bothered by this, but I would connect with everybody.
I mean, it could be a terrorist from ISIS. I'm like, okay, I'll just, I don't really get, and occasionally, then I'll, like, I don't go to it that often, and then I will say no, and I'm thinking, why did I just say no to this person when 6 months ago, when I last responded, I said yes to like 100 people or something. I might know of like four of them.
I know. I don't know. I feel like it's more though, like you're building your connections, right? So there's some people too that I'm like, initially maybe I don't know exactly who they are, but then I look deeper and I'm like, oh, I met them at that conference, or I see, like, that makes sense. I don't know. There's usually some type of connection.
Yeah, there's no doubt networking.
It's helpful.
Oh, my God. It's been helpful since people existed, right?
The beginning of time.
Yes. Yeah, we can break that down, too. Okay, I've got a number of stories here for you. Just quick items.
I can't wait.
Okay. 36-year-old woman charged for repeatedly calling 911 because her parents shut off her cell phone. Let me just say that again. A 36-year-old is calling 911 because her parents shut off her cell phone. Jamie, your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of mental illness in this country, unfortunately, and she's either been coddled her entire life and doesn't understand the way of the world, or she's extremely selfish that she would tie up a 911 line, I don't know. That's crazy.
She called 911, demanded police respond to her home because her parents had shut
up. Like
it was
a domestic violence charge or something?
The first time she called, police warned her to only call for legitimate emergency. Hours later, she called again to her parents, shutting off the cell phone. According to court documents, she was belligerent, and she thought this was a legitimate issue.
It was a real emergency.
It was. Hey.
Well, you know, for a 36-year-old to not be able to, like, text anyone or get on Instagram, that might be an emergency these days. I'm not sure.
If of all the things you use on a regular basis and one was shut down, one would not work tomorrow, all day tomorrow, can you think of one that's more vital than your phone?
More vital than my phone?
How about your car keys? But then you could Uber.
No, you can Uber.
Yeah.
I thought of that.
Your keys to your house, but you can get a locksmith.
I have a lockbox, actually, so
you
always have keys available.
Do you have the code to that, too? I mean, you're willing to give out your work number. I mean.
No.
Phones right there.
Yeah, I don't think there is anything these days that's more vital, right?
No. Cook, can you think of something that if you lose it for a day?
No, my whole thought this time is, you know, if somebody tried to literally take my phone away from me for a period of time, there's going to be an emergency. Somebody's going to need some emergency because I'm not having it.
Well, yeah, it sounds like he's threatening.
Wow, okay.
I think he's threatening violence. Yeah.
No, you're not taking my phone.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances.
That feeling, though, when you can't find your phone.
Oh, that's so distressing. I'm going to call. My mom's actually in the Twin Cities. I'm going to call her out. She has two phones, too, and she couldn't find one of them last night. She called me. She's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where it is. She eventually found it, but it was. She was panicking for sure.
Everything I know about your mom from you, she sounds like she's a great person.
She is wonderful.
But why does she need a second phone? Come on.
Well, she's still a working woman, man.
Oh, okay. So she has the separate. Okay. Do most people, if they work, have the separate situation?
Well, I will tell you, this is what happened. When I just logged into my work cell phone, if you go to settings, it says this iPhone is supervised and managed by CBS Corporation.
Okay.
When I hit the learn more, what your administrator is supervising. Your administrator controls settings on your device by installing profiles. If you want to see which feature your administrator has modified, you'll need to check your settings. Well, when you check your settings, they can look at every single thing that you do on that phone. So I don't need work knowing everything that I do.
No.
I don't need them to know what contacts I'm calling. I don't need them to know, you know, when I'm getting up in the morning. I don't need them to know any of that stuff.
Well, I have my own personal email, and then I have the work email here. And when I first started, there was just some elaborate thing you had to go through to get your work email transferred to your phone. And then 98% of my work emails are completely meaningless. So I don't have my work email on my phone.
There's like some intern crying in the corner that they've sent you like 3 emails and you haven't responded.
I right now, because
it's
really
more true than you know.
I don't delete emails. I just go through them so fast. I have about.
Does anyone delete email? I don't know if anyone does.
I have 9,000 emails on my work email right now.
My work email. I have 7,941.
Although on my personal.
Oh yeah, none.
On my personal email, I don't think I ever delete. You know, I mean, I probably have 20,000 or something. I mean, do you guys delete your personal emails?
Yes.
No, I just keep it cleaner. Like, I don't have, like, I have 7,941 emails showing on my work email on my work phone. My Gmail account, I don't have anything showing.
Oh, so right? you just, boom, you get rid of them right away?
Yeah.
Okay, how about text? Because when Lindsay was here.
I have to clean that up, too.
Okay,
zero.
Lindsay was suggesting at one point, she had like 500 texting conversations going on, and then Carter chimed in right away and says, I delete them right away. And I was like, well, why are you deleting them right? To me, it seemed like there was somewhere in between zero to 500.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, I have like plenty of, I have plenty of conversations going.
Adam deletes them right away.
But mine are all red, so they're not like showing
up.
Yeah,
no. But like Lindsay was keeping hers for years and years.
I love keeping mine. Then you can go back and look.
Adam's running from something, apparently.
There's something going on there.
Yeah, right, where he's deleting them right away?
I don't know that I deleted conversations off my phone text message-wise, just because if I want to respond to something, whatever, I'll just leave it. I run out of room or anything, so why bother?
I will go through, and if it's like, okay, for me, shocking, golf. It's like 3 buddies of mine saying, hey, you want to go play golf today? And then at some point in a couple months where I'm going through and deleting, I have all those guys in my contacts. I know them. I don't think I need to remember that on August 4th, these 3 guys reached out to me. So those are the type of texts I delete. Do you keep?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just sentimental that way, and I've had a lot of loss. So I just feel like keeping them, you know, you just never know. And I've been really glad that I have some of the texts that I still have.
Last thing, I'll let you go. A Pew study just came out. 1 in 5 American women own a firearm, and this number has been increasing rather significantly since 2017. Does that surprise you?
No, I did a piece not that long ago, actually. Well, I guess it was long ago now in Minnesota. Obviously, hunting states, I think, are a little different because little girls are taking firearms classes just as often now as little boys. But, you know, I'm not really surprised by that. I think people associate, you know, I mean, there's so many headlines about the dangers and how, and sexual assaults and different things that you know, if women want to go through the training and get a firearm, I think they're just doing it. I don't think I don't think they have to think about the, you know, their gender anymore.
No, and maybe that's part of the reason why the numbers they say are jumping up dramatically. Always appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day. We'll talk soon.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Jamie Yuccas with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.